Welcome, and thank you for standing by. Your lines have been placed on a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session. Today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. It is my pleasure to introduce Ms. Maggie Mooney-Seuss, Communications Manager of Alaska Fisheries Science Center. Thank you, ma'am. You may begin.
Thank you very much, Holly. Thank you guys for joining us today from the press. We're delighted that you're here. We have some exciting news to share about a research project that is underway in the Eastern Bering Sea this summer. Here with me today to talk about it is Chris Sabine, Director of the NOAA Research's Pacific Marine Environmental Laboratory, and Douglas DeMaster. He's the Center and Research Director for the Alaska Fisheries Science Center. They're going to open up with a few brief remarks, and then we'll open it up for questions. Also with me today here is Richard Jenkins. He's the developer of Saildrome, and he was actually up in Dutch Harbor a week ago and launched the two sail drones that we're going to talk about today, and he can probably give us an update. I'll prompt him to do that. We also have representatives from the scientific teams who are doing research on the sail drone as a platform this summer. They include from the Alaska Fisheries Science Center, Alex DeRobertis, Jessica Krantz, and Carrie Kuhn. From the Pacific Marine Environmental Laboratory, we have Phyllis Stabenow. We also have Noah Lawrence Slavis with us, Noah with an H. He's an engineer from the mission who can address some of the technical questions you guys might have. And we also have some of our partner organizations with us, some of the representatives from them. Jeff Condiati from Kongsberg Maritime, Bill Burgess from Greener Ridge Sciences, Dee Allen from the Marine Mammal Commission, and I don't think we have anybody here from the Joint Institute for the Study of the Atmosphere and Ocean, but Tom Ackerman may join us at some point on this call. At this point, I'd like to turn the podium over to Chris, and Chris, if you can open it up.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us today. We're here to share with you details about an exciting new research effort getting underway in the Bering Sea this summer. It involves a collaborative effort between NOAA Research's Pacific Marine Environmental Laboratory, NOAA Fisheries, Alaska Fisheries Science Center, Saildrone Incorporated, Green Ridge Sciences, Kongsberg Maritime, the University of Washington Joint Institute for the Study of the Atmosphere and the Ocean, and the Marine Mammal Commission. A few days ago in Dutch Harbor, Alaska, we launched a Saildrone, autonomous sailing craft developed by Saildrone Incorporated. The sail drones were equipped with customized technology that will allow us to gather critical oceanographic information as well as needed biological data on whales, seals, and fish in remote parts of the Bering Sea off Alaska. The goal, to remotely gather information on environmental conditions in the Bering Sea and the creatures that live there. Imagine the TV series Deadliest Catch, and you can imagine why we'd like to remotely gather this information. The collected data can also be used to better understand warming temperatures, decreased sea ice, and ocean acidification impacts on this highly productive marine ecosystem. At present, studies of the Bering Sea and Arctic waters are conducted mostly with research vessels. However, ships have limitations. Their cost, range of observations, and seasonal restrictions. Again, think of the Deadliest Catch. The use of sail drones in colder waters could allow scientists to enhance ship time, expand the range and efficiency of measurements in the ocean, and potentially provide monitoring throughout the year. So what is a sail drone? Think of a 20-foot outrigger canoe with an airplane wing sticking up from the middle. The 20-foot high sail, or wing, moves the vessel forward and is remotely controlled from the comfort of your office, or even from a Starbucks using an iPad or a smartphone. It's capable of carrying over 200 pounds of instrumentation powered by batteries and solar panels. It's quickly maneuverable and capable of traveling at speeds faster than other remotely operated vehicles. This makes it ideal for conducting research in hard-to-reach areas of the ocean. We've been testing and integrating instruments onto this novel platform for the last 18 months or so. Last summer, the Pacific Marine Environmental Lab, or PMEL, teamed up with the makers of Saildrone to conduct an extensive survey of physical and chemical properties in the Bering Sea. That mission was a success despite the unique challenges of that area, limited sunlight to support solar power, challenging currents and waves that make it difficult to steer, and an abundance of jellyfish in surface waters that can clog or damage the instruments. Over a 3-month period, the two sail drones covered over 2,000 miles, taking over 40 million measurements as they sailed north following the retreating ice. With the rapidly changing environment in that area, the measurements taken across the eastern Bering Sea had the potential to provide a critical picture of the patterns of change that occur in the late spring environment when the ice is retreating. The success of that effort would not have been possible without the collective talents of PMEL scientists and engineers and our partners at the University of Washington and the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Last week, Richard Jenkins, the developer of Sail Drone, launched two sail drones out of Dutch Harbor, Alaska, to kick off this year's mission that for the first time links the physical and chemical measurements with remotely operated biological observations. So what do we hope to accomplish this summer? The PMEL chief scientist, Phyllis Stabenow, is continuing to gather a variety of physical and chemical oceanographic data. Phyllis is on the phone with us today and is available to answer specific questions you may have about this research. Our oceanographic data collection effort gathers important information such as ocean surface temperatures, salinity, dissolved oxygen, and particle concentrations. This information aids us in our various climate and other related research efforts. And for the first time ever, our partners at the Alaska Fisheries Science Center are testing customized acoustic technologies to gather needed biological information in these remote waters. This will aid them in furthering their research mission. By working together on this mission and other projects, we hope to further advance our understanding of how environmental conditions affect fish, whale, and seal species. We're excited about the possibilities of this new research platform and what we'll learn this summer. We also look forward to future missions using this new technology and further ocean research. Now I'd like to introduce Doug DeMaster, Director of the Alaska Fisheries Science Center, who's going to share more about the biological studies and what are planned as part of this year's sail drone mission. Doug?
Thanks very much, Chris, and thanks to all of you for joining this call. The Alaska Fisheries Science Center is very pleased to help test the efficacy of this new research platform. We believe there is considerable potential for expanding the scope of our own biological studies in Alaska through this technology. The research that we do is the information that we provide for the region for managing some of the largest stocks, commercial stocks of fisheries in the U.S., and for monitoring and protecting populations of seals, sea lions, and whales. We are hopeful that by equipping the sail drones with specifically designed acoustic technologies that we will be able to gain new insights into the status of fish, whale, and seal populations in Alaska. The sail drone may help us increase our observational infrastructure in remote and logistically demanding polar regions where ship time and human labor cost is extreme and the environment is potentially hazardous. If we are successful, it's possible that sail drones and the accompanying technology developed for them will enable us to augment our existing research efforts, gather more data in remote areas, and improve our state of knowledge on the marine environment and its inhabitants. This will benefit fishermen and commercial and recreational businesses that derive their incomes from Alaska fish resources, as well as the Alaska natives that hunt whales and seals to feed their families and communities. So what are our research goals this summer? We hope to gather additional data on three things. First one is to expand our understanding of how climate change may impact the walleye pollock resource, which supports the largest commercial fishery in the U.S. We hope to learn more about the critically endangered North Pacific right whale and other cetacean species that live in the Arctic waters. And we hope to better understand factors that are responsible for a 30-year decline in the northern fur seal population. On the phone with us today are members of NOAA's Alaska Fisheries Science Center team who will lead the various biological studies this summer as part of the sail drone mission. Marine mammal biologists Jessica Krantz and Catherine Birchok plan to use a modified acoustic tag developed with the help of Greenridge Science to listen for the calls of whales and attempt to survey large areas known to be important habitats for the North Pacific right whale, as well as other species. Hazards and costs have made covering this expanse of the Bering Sea with a NOAA research vessel impossible. Alex DeRobertis and scientists from Kongsberg Maritime are also testing the effectiveness of a state-of-the-art autonomous low-powered echo sounder. This device detects fish underwater using sound waves. Our scientists will observe how well this smaller model does monitoring fish populations compared to the larger scale model currently used on the NOAA research vessel, the Oscar Dyson. Finally, marine mammal biologists Carrie Kuhn and Jeremy Sterling will use information from satellite-tracked northern fur seals along with the echo sounder data to increase our understanding of the relationship between fur seals and their primary prey, walleye pollock. Knowing more about how the distribution and abundance of pollock influence fur seal behavior, feeding success, and demographics is key to promoting the recovery of this depleted population. We appreciate this opportunity to test new tools and new approaches to enhance and optimize our data collection efforts in Alaska. We're doing this to continue to provide the best available information to resource managers who are developing measures to manage fish stocks, protect whale and seal populations, and preserve healthy marine ecosystems. Clearly, this benefits our society that derives much from the oceans, like jobs, food, recreation, and inspiration. Thank you.
So, operator, I think if anybody on the phone has some questions for us, please just hit star one, and the operator will open your line. So, again, hit star one if any of you on the phone from the media have a question, and we will answer it. So as people are queuing up, I just wanted to say that, the beauty of this being an autonomous research vessel is that it's going to be collecting a lot of data that our scientists are going to analyze when it gets back. So that means they don't have to be out on the boat. So some of them will be around for parts of the summer. And if you guys want to check back in with us and see how things are going, we can certainly reach out to them, and hopefully they'll be available to give an interview or give you an update on how things are going.
I think we can also provide any photos or B-roll that might be interesting.
So, operator, could you open the first line, please, for the question?
Our first question comes from DJ Summers, from reporter with Alaska Journal of Commerce. Go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Thank you, and thank you, everyone, for taking the time. This is a cool project. First question I've got for you is, how is this funded?
How is this funded? Okay, who's the best one to answer that question? Chris?
This is funded through technology development funds as well as climate monitoring and fisheries monitoring funds from NOAA.
Okay, is it solely funded from NOAA?
Yes.
No. There are some funds from Marine Mammal Commission for the fur seal work.
Right whale work, sorry.
I gotcha. Okay.
And, of course, our partners are contributing
in kind
effort as well.
Okay. I'll hold my other questions and make sure that the lines are open for other folks.
Okay, DJ, thanks. Okay, operator, if you could take the next question.
Our next question comes from Elizabeth Jenkins with KPOO. Go ahead, your line is open.
Hi, thanks so much for doing this morning. So I know there were some sail drone tests in a Bering Sea around this time last summer, and I was wondering what's the biggest difference between that one last summer and this one that's going to happen here soon?
Phyllis, you want to take that one?
Part of it is directed on this. Work last year was partly just a test to see if it would survive the Bering Sea with the conditions of the winds, the ice, etc. And it was to look at mainly some of the surface features around the islands, the frontal structures, and to examine what's happening in Norton Sound. This is more directed. For instance, there's a fur seal part where the fur seals often leave the Pribilof Islands and go out around the eddies. Send a ship to see what they're seeing where they're feeding becomes prohibitively expensive, and you don't know what has happened. So this, the sail drone, will go out and take a look at what the ocean, the marine system, looks like around the eddy. Similarly, it has a huge amount of acoustics for the marine mammal work to just survey the whole area and see what they can hear. Similarly, for the fish acoustic finders that you might want to talk a little bit more about.
Sure. Yeah, Alex DeRobertis can talk a little bit about that, and maybe Carrie can elaborate a bit on the fur seals.
Sure, I can address the. Yeah. This is Alex DeRobertis. I can address a little bit about the fish acoustics part. We've installed a new, very low power, small, compact echo sounder. It's essentially a device that sends little pulses of sound out into the water and then measures the faint reflections that come back from objects in the water column, so mostly fish. These are used throughout the fishery and also used to conduct acoustic surveys to essentially count fish populations and set fishing quotas in part. And we've taken several steps to integrate these instruments into the sail drone. So they've been operating for about 10 days. We've done extensive testing and sent out 500,000 acoustic transmissions so far in the last 10 days or so. And the point of this is really to estimate the abundance of fish that are under the sail drone. And this gives us the ability to image the whole water column rather than just the sea surface where the sail drone is transiting.
I don't know if Carrie, you have anything you want to add to that, or Jessica with respect to North Pacific right whale?
Yes, so this is Carrie Kuhn. I think Phyllis had it right in that we're going to be able to use a sail drone to direct into areas where we know the fur seals are feeding. We'll have the animals being tracked by satellite-linked recorders, and they'll tell us at sea locations. We can send the sail drone to that area and then survey what fish are available and what those animals, what kind of prey patches those animals are feeding on. And then also do larger grids around the fur seal foraging areas so that we can get an idea of what prey is available to them over a longer time span than what we have with the standard fish acoustic surveys that are conducted in the Bering.
And how about you, Jessica? Anything you want to add on the whale work?
Yeah, absolutely. We are really excited to have some passive acoustic recorders on the sail drones. And these recorders will allow us to monitor for all marine mammals, barring the high-frequency species like porpoises. But we are focusing on the North Pacific right whale, which is critically endangered with only an estimated 30 individuals left. And while we know that a small percentage of them are found in the southeastern Bering Sea every summer, we don't know much about their full distribution range or their migration patterns. And the beauty of the sail drone is that it can cover a large area that we are not able to do so from a research vessel and using standard marine mammal surveys. So we hope to be able to acoustically detect marine mammals, or more specifically the right whale, and hope to answer some questions on their full distribution range and perhaps where they are going.
Thanks, Jessica. So I don't know, did you have a follow-up question?
Yeah, actually. So you were talking about the echo sounder. In the past, when NOAA was measuring how many fish were in the water, how was that done?
There are many different tools that are used. There's information from the fishery. There's a bottom trawl survey, which is derived from nets towed on the seafloor. And also for walleye pollock in the Bering Sea, we do acoustic trawl surveys where we use acoustic devices similar to the one that's on the sail drone to measure the abundance of fish. And we also conduct trawl samples when we see aggregations of fish in this echo sounder on the ship to identify the species and also the age and the sizes of those fish. With sail drone, we can only really get at one piece of the puzzle, which is really the abundance of the fish. The Bering Sea is a really good place to work in because the pelagic or the water, or the midwater part of the environment, is really dominated by a single species, walleye pollock. So you're pretty confident that what you see in the echo sounder is actually just that single species. And we know this from doing almost 40 years of these types of surveys in the Bering Sea.
And this is Doug. Let me just add that one of the real advantages of a sail drone is that, you know, in the past, we've had to focus, because of limited ship time, our surveys generally in the summer. And in terms of managing fisheries, which is one of the goals of how this information will be used, it's much better to have a much broader, both spatially and temporal, coverage. So with sail drone, that, you know, something on the order of a tenth or less of the cost per day of a research vessel, we can use limited funding much more efficiently and effectively, and we should be able to cover summer and fall, which is a real important time in terms of predicting overwintering survival and recruitment into the fishery. So, as I said, it's a really exciting technology for us.
So, do you have another question, or we'll take another, you want to come back around and we'll take that next reporter?
Thank you. No, I think I'm good. Thank you very much.
Our next question is from DJ Summers. Go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Thank you. I'm wondering how many researchers currently fill the researching positions that will be covered by Saildrone. Is there any estimate for that?
So, like, the number of participants this summer?
I guess the number of NOAA and other researchers who currently take the kinds of studies that Saildrone could potentially take in the future.
DJ, I think that's going to be a tough question to answer. I think we're in the process of, you know, testing this technology, and I think we see this as something that will augment the current research that we're doing right now. We use the large vessels, and we in the surveys that we've been doing for 40 years, we collect a lot of biological data, and there's limitations to what you can do on an autonomous vehicle. You still need to do it. This is just going to allow us to get into areas maybe that we haven't been able to get into, you know, areas that might be difficult, hazardous to navigate. It'll increase maybe the range of our surveys. But it's something that we see as augmenting our traditional research, and we still see the need for that. But I think if you need some kind of estimate, we'd have to get back to you on that.
I understand. It's no problem. Just something, you know, curious whether or not this is going to, I guess, add costs or decrease costs.
Well, the expectation is that it will decrease the costs, and while at the same time increasing the time and space opportunities to collect information. So we've got something like 15 people working on this project for this summer thing, just to give you a sense of the size of it.
Thank you.
Thanks, DJ. Any other questions, operator?
We have another question from Dan Joling with Associated Press. Go ahead, your line is open.
Hi. This is for Mr. Jenkins or somebody else. Maybe you could talk about what the hazards are to this device once it's out sailing in the Bering Sea, calm water versus big water. Can it flip? Can it adjust itself? How long can it – I'm curious about how long it can run, how close operators have to be to direct it. Just some technical questions like that. I also have some questions about the whale research, but I'd like to come back to that after this.
Yeah, that's fine. So I think, operator, can you make sure that Richard Jenkins' line is open? And Richard, would you mind answering that question?
Yeah, hi there. This is Richard here from Saildrone. Yeah, no problem at all. Firstly, thanks to everyone, and Chris and Doug especially, for their very clear and excellent descriptions of the work we're doing this summer. Hazards, the main hazard in the Bering Sea is really the weather. The weather can be extreme. You know, you've seen Delia's catch. It's much worse in winter than the summer. Last year's mission was a bit earlier than this year, so we went up, I think, in the end of April or the end of May. Yeah, big seas and big winds are the real physical hazards of Saildrone, but it's designed to cope with that. So it's self-righting. It's incredibly durable. We've had over 50,000 nautical miles of testing on the vehicle so far and experienced winds in excess of 60 knots. So it's kind of been, you know, many oceans around the world experience many different conditions, and we haven't lost a vehicle yet. So it's very durable. I think the next question is how long. The longest mission we've had so far is 8 months and 10,000 miles. So we haven't seen a threshold or limit to how long we can stay out there. I think the limit is going to be marine growth rather than fatigue or failure. You just can't stop the weed growing on the vehicle for a very long period of time. So we're looking to 6 to 12 months of the average mission time. What was the third question?
How close you have to be to control it?
So two of us went up to deploy the vehicles. It's a one- or two-man job to assemble the vehicles and deploy them into the water. Once they're actually in the water and deployed from the dock, and it's crucial here that we don't need a ship to deploy them. So, again, a massive cost saving over other technologies. You can actually push them off the dock, and they sail themselves from the dock to the ocean, complete the mission, come back to the dock. Once they've left the dock, you really just need any web-enabled device. So it could be an iPhone, an iPad, tablet, or a desktop. We have a web interface where you can see the data coming back from the drones in real time, and you control in real time. So I'm controlling the two drones in the Bering Sea right now from my iPhone. I'm down in California.
This is Chris Sabine. I might also add that the sail drone has both active and passive AIS. So we're transmitting out where the sail drone is located so that other fishermen in the area know where it is, and passive, so we know where they are and can avoid their paths so that there won't be any issues there.
And, Dan, you said you had a question for the whale crew.
Yeah. I mean, you've had missions where I think you've looked for these whales and haven't been able to find them. Can you just talk about the challenges of sending these sail drones after them, how close you have to be to pick up the sounds from them, and if they're located, do you then send the drones to follow the whales, or how do you monitor them? Are you sailing grids, or how are you trying to track their where they are?
I'm going to start with Jessica Krantz, if you could answer that, Jessica.
Yeah, absolutely. So I should start by mentioning that the acoustic recorder, it's the Acuson designed by Bill Burgess from Green Ridge Sciences. It is an archival tag, so it records all the data to an internal hard drive. So we actually won't have access to those data until after the mission ends and the sail drone returns and we collect the recorders. So for our purposes, we are not planning on following any whales that we find. It's more just detecting when the whales are near the sail drone. We do have some planned survey track lines that we will be following, mainly trying to cover those areas that we have not been able to survey in the past. But we hope to have a detection range of, you know, maybe a few kilometers. That is highly variable depending on a lot of factors, oceanographic conditions, among other things. But yeah, for our purposes, we're going to be doing some standard survey track lines and hoping to just detect whatever marine mammal species are out there and are talking.
And I think Justin Master had something he wanted to add to that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the hard part about right whales, North Pacific, at least eastern North Pacific right whales, is there's so few animals left in the population that, you know, we put vessels out at $25,000 a day to try to find them and generally use a combination of sighting and acoustic surveys, but it's still very difficult. And at that cost, we can't afford to be out there very long. The sail drone should provide us a much more efficient, cost-effective way to at least try to identify areas and times of year where we're hearing right whales, and then we could reliably design surveys to take advantage of that information. So it's really a two-stage process. Of course, it'd be great to have it in real time, but that's down the road.
Yeah, I think we are exploring the potential for transmitting those data back in real time, perhaps for future missions. But it's a tremendous amount of data, so it's not a trivial matter to send all that data back in real time.
And that second speaker was Chris.
This is Jessica again. I should also add that the sail drones will be sailing towards some oceanographic and passive acoustic moorings that are located in the southeastern Bering Sea. And so by sailing the sail drone close to our passive acoustic recorders, we will be able to ground truth what we're hearing on our long-term acoustic recorders with what we're hearing on the sail drone. So it'll act as a good way to kind of calibrate and ground truth our acousons.
So, Dan, I don't know, did you have anything else?
Yeah, just they were launched from Dutch, did you say? And how long will they be out there, and where will they be picked up?
Phyllis, do you want to answer that one? Or?
So the sail drones will be launched. They were launched from Dutch Harbor, and they'll be recovered in Dutch Harbor in the first couple weeks of September.
Wow.
That was Heather Tablazola. She's the research coordinator, and I did not introduce her in the beginning, and I should have.
I would, to Mr. Jenkins again, I guess these run pretty silently throughout the water and are not making much sound themselves.
Yeah, indeed. And that's one of the big strengths of SailDrain.
It works so well with the acoustics.
Right. Okay. And could you just, this is probably available online, but could you give us a rundown of what the different parts do? Is there any technology in the sail, or is that strictly for maneuvering? And where is the hardware, and how does it, where are the instruments?
Richard, can you answer that one?
Yes, certainly. So the secret to SailDrain is it's a low-power propulsion device. So we harness the wind, and we have a patented technology for controlling the wind that's incredibly low power. So that's the secret that enables the SailDrain to sail so far and so long. If you look at our website, there's a lot of information there about the vehicle itself and the picture. There's also a payload illustration of all the payloads on the vehicle, which you can look at. So that's probably the clearest way to list all the variables we collect.
Okay.
All right, Dan, if you have other
SailDrain.com.
questions, if you could hold them, because I want to give DJ a chance to ask or anyone else on the line that has questions. Operator, can you open the next call?
Our next question, again, is from DJ Summers. Go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. Thank you. This question is for Mr. Jenkins. How long has SailDrone been in development?
So I started SailDrone in 2011. The first transocean passage was from San Francisco to Hawaii in 2013.
I understand. It has it been used in any other collaborative arrangements like this before?
It has. So we've done work with the University of Southern Mississippi. We spent over 4 months down there with one vehicle. It's like 4 months in the Gulf of Mexico last year doing a shelf slope interaction study, so measuring nitrates flowing out of the Mississippi Delta on the continental shelf just off New Orleans. So one vehicle stayed on station for 120 days down there. We also worked with the Gulf of Mexico Research Institute doing an oil study, so looking for natural seeps and detecting oil slicks autonomously, and then measuring how the oil slick affects the organisms in the water inside and outside the slick. So we've worked with people in the Gulf of Mexico, the Pacific, and the Bering Sea.
But Richard, this is Maggie. So this is the first time really we're kind of combining biological and oceanographic studies. Isn't that correct?
That is correct. Yes.
Interesting. Thank you.
I don't know if there's any other questions. DJ, do you have any other questions?
No further questions.
Okay. Again, if anybody wants to ask a question, please hit star one, and we can take your questions. Well, if we don't have any other questions, I just let you all know that you're welcome to reach back out to me afterward if you have follow-up questions and you want to talk to anybody else specifically, or you want to monitor how things are going this summer. I think you have my number, but it's 206-526-4348. And if you want to talk to somebody directly here at Pacific Marine Environmental Laboratory, you can call Adi Haneen, and her number is 206-526-6810. So, again, we'd like to thank you all for joining us today. And please, if you could, let people know we're having this YouTube broadcast. It's a nice test for us. We're testing other technology on the communication side today. And we would be happy if you guys would let people know that they can monitor the live YouTube broadcast, or if they miss it, they can watch it afterward because it will be taped. Thanks again for joining us today.
This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may disconnect at this time.